for joining me this afternoon. It is 1 o'clock, and this is the Standing Committee on Education. My name is Deirdre Bartman. I'm chairperson of the committee. Today we are dealing with a briefing by the Western Cape Education Department and how the WCED utilizes data, the type of data, and the contribution that the WCED is making to the National Data-Driven District Project, if any, as part of the school, South African School Administration and Management System. This is the conclusion of a previous resolution in this regard. I'm going to ask that members just introduce themselves, and then I'm going to ask that the department just introduce their delegation, and then we can jump straight into the presentation, which will be followed by questions and answers. Members, over to you.
Good afternoon, Dan Plato. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson Phil and Christians.
Good afternoon, Chairperson Christopher Fry.
Good afternoon, Chairperson Mesudi Kama.
Thank you so much. Member Kama, I just want to check, are you standing in for Member Syed?
I'm not aware of that. I'm sure you should be joining.
Okay, no problem. Ms. Hassan Musa, have you received any apologies from your side?
Chair, I had received one from Member Syed indicating his apology. That's the only one.
No problem, that one is covered. Thank you so much. The department, Mr. De Vega.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members. My name is Ian De Vega. I'm the Chief Director for Business Intelligence Management, representing WCED.
Thank you so much. Members, I'm just going to quickly mute everyone. So I see a few of us aren't. Okay. Mr. De Vega, you can jump straight into the presentation, and then it will be followed by questions and answers.
Chairperson, can you just confirm that the presentation is visible, please?
It is, thank you.
Can I proceed?
Please do.
Okay. So good afternoon, Chairperson, Advocate Bartman, and all present here today. I'll be briefing the committee on how the Western Cape utilizes data, what type of data, what are the contributions that the WCED is making through the National Triple D project, or the Data-Driven District Project, as part of the South African School Administration and Management System, known as SASMS. So the content that I will cover in the presentation will be in response to the letter of the invitation. I will provide an overview of the WCED landscape, the policy environment, and then now get into the nub of the agenda, which is looking at the type of data we collect, how we utilize these data, and what contributions we are making to the Triple D project. So in terms of the actual landscape, our vision in the WCED is quality education for every child in every classroom, in every school in the province. And our strategies and priorities focus is to support this vision, and that is quality education for that results in greater opportunity for all learners in the province. From a strategic priority perspective, which was signed off in 22, we are continuing committed to delivering on the 5-year strategic priorities. In addition, the WCED, as part of a strategy last year, has identified immediate focus areas in support of our policy priorities. These are online blended digital learning, foundation phase learning, that is language and mathematics, well-being and psychosocial support, and we've added an additional focus area in decreasing the admin burden on the frontline staff members. And with the hope that we promote efficiency, resilience, and creativity within WCED. In terms of the landscape, the latest mid-year population estimates in South Africa highlights that there's over 7.2 million people or citizens in the Western Cape. We have a staff complement of over 43,000, and that's a breakdown of close to 80% education professionals and 21 administrative support staff. I mentioned the immediate focus areas, which are listed in the top right-hand corner. We've got about 1,456 public ordinary schools, which is a combination of primary schools, secondary schools, combined schools, intermediate schools, and there is 75 special schools, 8 pre-primary schools, and we've got 1,566 registered ECD centres. There is a further 655 independent schools as well within the Western Cape. These are made up of 313 public ordinary, 21 special schools, and 321 pre-primary schools. The landscape has basically ECD centers, special schools, as well as our ordinary schools, both public and private, ably assisted by the school governing bodies, as well as head office and 8 education districts. And we have just over 1.2 million learners in the system. This slide just illustrates that there's an incremental year-on-year growth within WCED, and there has been since 2001 a 28.8% increase in the population. The next slide is quite a positive graphic in that it shows that we are closing the gap on attaining universal access to education for the 5 to 17 year old children in South Africa, and this is based on a general household survey of 2021. In terms of the policy directive or mandate from a data perspective, the school South African School Act Section 59 states that the duty of the school is to provide information. A school must make information available for inspection by any person insofar as such information is required for the exercise and protection of such person's rights. Every school must provide such information about the school as is reasonably required by the head of department or the director general of the National Department of Education in consultation with the head of department of the province. South African School Act also further states in section 3.4 that subject to the provision of subsection 1, 2, 3, the minister shall determine national policy for the planning, provisioning, financing, coordination, management, governance, programs, monitoring, evaluation, and well-being of the education system, and without derogating from generality of this section, may determine national policy for education management information systems, including the provision of data in accordance with the international obligations of the government. So in terms of the data types, we've got basic, derived, enumerate, and user-defined types, and these are basically your learner data, which is made up of biographical, feeding, and performance data. You have your infrastructure data, which looks at register of schools, the maintenance and repairs, and new builds and projects. You also look at educator data in terms of biographical data, as well as remuneration and a business process with regards to the learner transport scheme, the learner and teaching support material, as well as attendance of both learners and educator staff. In terms of provincial systems and national systems, in the Western Cape, we utilize CIMIS, which is the Central Education Management Information System, and is a learning tracking and system, as well as a provincial school management system. So the school accesses the solution via the internet and transact according to the following business processes. So there's a learner enrollment, which allow for the registration of new learners, and this is real-time transaction, as well as transfer of learners, which facilitates the transfers of learners between schools, and these are also real-time transactions. And this is all facilitated by a centrally hosted solution that's hosted within CETA domain. So unlike CMIS, SSAMS is a standalone system which does not allow for learner real-time transacting or learner tracking. In terms of the data-driven district project, or the DDD as it's known, our equivalent to that is the Edu Info Search, EIS, which allows for business intelligence or reporting of the data collected via CMIS. Reports are available to schools, circuits, districts, head office, and allows for transparency, oversight, and accountability with regards to the data inputs. So the richness of the data is extracted from CMIS, not in a manual process, but automated using what they call ETLs, or extract, transfer, load algorithms, to enable the data analyst to further analyze these data and make it available to the relevant school circuits, districts, and head office officials for them to download these data in a easy and user-friendly manner. So contributions WCT makes in terms of SSAMS, as mentioned, CMIS remains our mandatory system for transacting and reporting for WCED schools. There are, however, 23 schools using SSAMS, and SSAMS used for localized school usage. So it's really to manage the activities at school rather than as a reporting platform. Support structures for SSAMS to these 23 schools are in liaison with DBE, so they provide it via the help desk. So they've got a help desk number as well as a help desk email address, similar to CMIS. DBE currently in process of replacing SSAMS with an online solution. So at the recent sub-HEDCOM committee, it was noted that DBE has engaged UNESCO to look at their Open EMIS solution, which is an online platform, and the NICT, which is the service provider for SSAMS, is looking at this Open EMIS and seeing how they could utilize the solution to provide an online solution for similar to CMIS in an online manner. We are contributing to DBE in terms of the EMIS context, our expertise, given our long history with our CMIS solution, which is an online platform and providing relevant input to DBE and to NICT to ensure that the Open EMIS solution is a solution that in future, could be a national solution. Contributions we're making in terms of the DDD project. So WCED does not use SSAMS, as previously mentioned, and has its own BI solution to produce and analyze the data. The DBE, as well as the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, engaged the WC on placing data on the DDD. However, after evaluation of the EIS, or our EduInfo search, they found that it's not feasible to replace the WCED solution with DDDD. So just to give you some background in terms of EduInfo search, is currently the sole portal. It's a web interface as well, can be accessed anywhere for publication and access to comment WCED reports. And the software that it's running on is called WebFocus, which is a BI software tool, which allows integration of data sets from all WCED primary applications in real time. Thus, it instantaneously turns raw data into usable information assets from a credible data source, which is CMIS. And obviously, in the back of all of this, you have your software developers and your data analysts doing most of the conversion of the raw data into usable information assets, and then engagement at the school, district, circuit, and head office level. We basically facilitate what type of reports is required at these levels. So the WCED operational BI system has the following capabilities: a departmental-wide historical report and dashboard. So, you know, any question that we want to know in terms of what happened can be answered through this process. Business process automation of critical business processes such as grade changes, enabled by workflow functionality between identified transactional systems and the BI. Also, you know, that's one of the capabilities that we have. Real-time reporting from selected systems, near real-time reporting for replicated data repositories, a certain level of self-service capability, so custom-built functionality, where we have these drop-downs and, you know, filters that we've put in place for people to look at the parameters that they want to look in terms of years, what grade, and age groups, and then provision of attribute data to the provincial GIS as well, in terms of, you know, location of schools and learners within in the system as well, and bus routes and so forth. So WCED systems for collection of education data. So we've got two main systems that we utilize. The one, obviously, CMIS, which is used at a school level. And this provides learning information, biographical learner performance, attendance, and a whole host of other data as well. Within our PMPS system, which is a people management practice system, provides education information, and this is that biographical information, attendance information, et cetera, as well as remuneration information. In terms of the data collection processes, we have the SNAP process, which is the 10th day of the school, 10th day of the school year survey. And these are for ordinary schools to complete on the 10th day. And then the first Tuesday in March for special needs schools. And then we have the annual school survey, which is the first Tuesday in March for ordinary schools and ECD centers, as well as the first Thursday in September for SNE schools. There's a rationale why we do the SNE schools at the later date, because there are transfers from ordinary schools to SNE schools, and therefore allowing for these transfers to take place and be confirmed on CMIS before we actually run the SNAP report for each of the SNE schools. We also do quarterly learner attendance as well as quarterly learner performance reports as well. In terms of data quality, schools will capture the data. Principals will validate these data as being accurate and correct via sign-off. The circuit managers will also validate the data together with the principal and sign off on that. We also have built-in data validation rules, and the knowledge management unit at head office also runs a series of tests on the data to ensure that there's no outliers or erroneous data that's been captured in the system. And we also do a verification check with the school if we find any of these anomalies. And then data presented to head office for ratification once validated and confirmed. And then we also on a every 3 years, we have an education data quality audit. In terms of data utilization, we utilize data at three levels, at a strategic, tactical, and operational level. And at the strategic level, education data is analyzed to establish trends and inform new strategies for improving the system. At a tactical level, education data is used to determine the most efficient use of available resources. At an operational level, education data is used to monitor progress on implementation plans derived from strategic and tactical interventions, as well as evaluate the impact of these interventions. So just to give you a broad strokes overview of the strategic reports, so evidence-based planning and reporting at institutions, in terms of institutions, so delineating school type data and in terms of ordinary, special, and education ECDs. And then you've got your learning enrollment, attendance, subject choices, and all of that. And then you've got APP data that gets derived from these data and other data. Then we have quarterly performance reports, and four of these quarterly performance reports makes up the annual report. And all of these data also informs our strategic plans and midterm reviews and so forth. Resourcing and provisioning. So from a finance perspective, the data is used for allocations of norms and standards. In terms of a people management approach, staff allocation or establishments for the basket of post or teaching post, in terms of learner numbers and growth. In terms of the learner and teaching support material, textbooks, tables and chairs, and so forth, also uses these data together with a feeding scheme as well as the learner transport scheme. At a tactical level, we have a lot of interdepartmental collaboration. In terms of the integrated data management process, there's the mental health data alignment process that we participate in, school safety reports and initiatives linked to the, like the VIP strategy. Then there's the Wellness Manco data provisioning presentations and reports that we've done recently in relation to the feeding scheme. You also have COVID-19 statistics in collaboration with WCG Health, where based on the PSL data, they could give us an output of which staff members within WCED contracted COVID, their status in terms of recovery or death, and whether they're active as well. And then response to media and parliamentary queries, also the research data request and initiatives utilizes these data at a tactical level. At an operational level, WCED CMIS, Provincial School Administration Systems for Real-Time Learner Tracking Data, so learning enrollments and all of that. Then DBE Lyrics, where we upload these data, the CMIS data. It's not a real time, it's a dating time event where we'll upload these data into the LURIT system, which is a DBE system, and learner unit record information tracking system. And that data, together with the mid-year estimates, are used for the PES or the provincial equitable share. Then you've got your PMPS, which is educator related information for appointments, attendance, and so forth. And then you've got your national exam systems for the NESC data. And then there are transversal HR, finance, supply chain systems, your BAS logos, PSL, managed by provincial treasury. We also have automated business processes for GIS, LTS, infrastructure, YEBO, home education, home learning, etc. And then the grade 12 registration process as well. Management reports are all via the EduInfo search using the BI reporting tool. and our data sources are the annual school survey, which is a static report, the SNAP survey, which is also a static report, and CMIS, which is a live system, where a lot of these, the movement of learners and the changes of subjects for these learners occur as well as grade changes and so forth. So future data initiatives. So we've just, it's been a year now that we've concluded the DTS, or the Digital Transformation Strategy. And this is basically digitizing business for improved education delivery. And the IEMIS, or a data strategy, where we're integrating all the different data platforms. So it's called a data harmonization, where you look at all the various data systems and those that are also captured within an Excel database, as well as you know, the CMIS platform, to see how we could best leverage new data and what new data we also require for the future. Then in terms of SAMS, a lot of our schools, over 500 schools, have third-party school administration systems. It's almost an extension of CMIS, because CMIS does not have a finance module or some other module that the school would like to utilize for management at their school. And there's been several requests to integrate CMIS with these third-party SAMS, and we're in a process of doing that to improve data collection within the province. I run a session every Tuesday morning, so we had one this morning called Data for Breakfast, where we focus on key aspects with a cross-functional team on developing and upskilling key staff in WCED in management and analysis of data. So that is very people-focused. We also strengthen data at source and review how data flows through the department. And that is, you could see it as a process, but it's actively looking at how we actually strengthen data at school level, at circuit and district level, all the way up to province and national. And then dashboarding and secondary use of data. And this is really a push or a move towards monitoring and evaluation and evidence-based decision-making. So it's physically using the data in a more intelligent manner. And then data collaboration inside departments, as well as strengthening partnerships with Western Cape government departments, higher education institutes, and DBE, and even global institutions. We're also looking at enhancing the BI capabilities. So the following capabilities have been identified that the future BI must be able to provide. That is self-service BI. Users can interact and analyze data without the need of to have extensive IT knowledge. So that capability already exists, but we want to expand it to upskilling the staff to have some basic level of structured query language, or SQL or Python skills, within the department to develop these. And out of that, we'll elicit some level of intelligence or tacit knowledge that, the staff maybe at head office and district level don't have the understanding of some of the things that the staff want to grapple with. Spatial analytics, leveraging the location-based information in data sets, and a lot of the analysis and outputs are GIS-based or spatial-based. And we need to move towards that. We've employed some staff now within that space. We had, and the turnaround of GIS staff within WCED has been quite high, but we have now a solid team that is looking at that. Predictive analytics, analyze current and historical facts to make predictions about the future. And there's a lot of work that's been done in that space. And then obviously accessing data from anywhere and from different devices is currently available, but we're trying to expand that further. So that's all I have, Chairperson Bartman. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, I'm now going to take hands for the question session. Member Fry, are there any other members also wants to ask questions? If not, Member Fry, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation, Mr. De Vega. I've just got a question on the mental health data alignment. Is that mental health data for educators and learners, or is it just for learners? And if so, how is the data aligned and how is the data mined and sourced? How do we collect or harvest data on mental health? Because I think that mental health is a major issue that needs attention in our schools. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Member Karma.
No, thank you, Chair, and thanks to Mr. De Vega for the presentation. Chair, mine is around the issue of, I just want a bit more understanding on what this learner tracking entails. I heard at the end a mention around the issue of enrollments. But what I want to get to, Chair, is an understanding of does this data assist us in any way in terms of understanding what leads to these dropouts? You know, if you check, you'd get that, I don't know if my numbers are correct, that at grade one you would have around 1 million learners. But you find that if you monitor those learners, and that at the end you would find about 300 and something thousand writing exam. And this question I previously asked on many occasions, and an indication was that, you know, the answer would always be, it might be that others have left and whatnot, but no specific response as to say about so many have left and about so many have left the province or have left even the country. Can this assist us or even in the future plans, if it's not there yet, are there any plans in terms of us being able to use the system to collect data that would indicate to the department as to what happened to the cohort of learners that did not write exams at the end of the year? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much. Mr. De Vega, I wanted to find out specifically the way that we collect data in the Western Cape is obviously needs to be aligned to the national department. And the reason it needs to be aligned to the national department is, in the end, if our data is correct or if our data is incorrect, it will affect the provincial equitable share formula at a national level. As you may know, the education and health component makes up almost 2/3 of the provincial equitable share formula. And we see provinces like Gauteng and the Western Cape, where, you know, you have in-migration of learners from different provinces. And there's also maybe different systems that are used. In the Western Cape, for example, we use a different system. But at the budget workshop earlier this year, we found that while the census and national treasury data aligned with the Western Cape Education Department's data, the Western Cape Education data and the Basic Education Department at a national level, there were some questions regarding where the discrepancies come in from, because the data was not aligned. So I wanted to find out whether there's been any progress in aligning that data at a national level, because if our data is incorrect at a national level, it might decrease the amount of money that we get over the following MTIF periods, and if all possible, we want to make sure that the national department has everything it needs to ensure that we have quality education for every learner in every classroom in this province. Thank you.
May I have a good button, Chairperson?
Please.
Okay. So to answer Member Fry's question on the mental health data alignment, so how we source these data is we have therapists in the system that would go out and do assessment of the children itself. But we also have Momentum Health, Metropolitan Health, sorry, that provide support to staff as well. And these data are then harnessed to understand the type of psychosocial support that is required. And there's a unit or a individual within the unit that is specifically focused on collecting these data within the special needs education as well as in the IMG PO, Institutional Management and Governance Directorate. At HR level or people management level, there's also data that's being collected from the Metropolitan Health. And these data are then shared with the PDO or the Provincial Data Office under the stewardship of Zenit Ishmael. And they would do a what they call data, mental health data alignment, to see what data is being collected in the system and how these data can be aligned for, you know, intelligence and reporting at a MANCO level or even, you know, to a committee like this as well. So we contribute the data that we collect from these therapists as well as the data that we harnessed from the Metropolitan as well. In terms of the learner tracking enrollment, so the way we look at dropouts is not clearly defined, so we look at it more from a retention perspective. How many of these learners are we retaining in the system? Because if the learners leave the sector, they might leave for other reasons, like TVET colleges, home education. Now we've got UCT online. And there's many reasons why they wouldn't be in the system, but they didn't necessarily drop out of the system. And that's the reason why we're looking at retention. Now, the reason why we can track learners across the platform is that each learner receives a unique identifier. And this unique identifier enables us to track this learner through the course of, the life course of the education journey of this learner. And then we could also determine enrollment as well. So further to that, and also partly answering Chairperson Bartman's question, is that the LURIT system, which is a national system, we upload our data into that system, and there's many validation rules, and sometimes our data get rejected, and we need to basically motivate why these data need to be part of the LURIT system. And it's so part of it is automated, and the other part is manual. And 9 out of 10 times, there's about give and take 20,000 learners that is seen as a duplicate in the system, i.e. it's registered in another province when we feed the data in, but then we correct that because the other province did not deregister the learners from the system. So that's the bit that we do to validate the data that goes into LURITS. A lot of the migration data in other provinces is self-reported data. So when you have erroneous data like Limpopo saying that 44,000 of the Western Cape learners migrated into Limpopo, we were equally stunned at the budget committee when this happened. And we then were tasked to engage Stats SA as well as DBE on this issue, and we have. We then had a collective presentation that we pulled together, and National has corrected the information, and we continue to look at that information and request that level of information from National in our engagements with them so that we are constantly monitoring it from our side as well, Chairperson Bartman. So I hope that answers the question of the different systems used. So the Western Cape has taken the decision that, you know, Siemens is an online solution. It's managed and supported centrally, hosted in a secure environment behind firewalls. And so from a security perspective of the learners and Palpia and all of these, it's quite a secure system that is accessed centrally by all schools. And if we make a change centrally on the system, it's affected the next time you log in with your secure login. With regards to SASAMS, it's a standalone system. And every time you have to affect change, you have to do it 1,500 plus times over. And we found that the support mechanism is not available within the province to facilitate that. And other provinces are struggling to enable that as well. So therefore we continue with our online system until such time that DBE gets a online system. They're in the, you know, they've procured Open EMIS from UNESCO, and we are ably assisting them as well to strengthen the solution to be user-friendly through what they call UXD or user experience design, and facilitating engagements on that level. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You just mentioned that, you know, I'm happen to also obviously be the budget chairperson, and yeah, I do know the task that we gave you guys to engage SATS-SA and National regarding the claim that they made that learners are moving to Limpopo. So you're saying that there was a mistake and they did correct it?
That's correct, Chairperson Bartman.
Okay. So I just wanted to find out quickly, what was the cause of the mistake, and did it affect the previous financial year's provincial equitable share formula? Because Stats SA and the Western Cape had the same numbers and the National had different numbers. So I just wanted to make sure that in terms of, because it affects monetary matters. So was that taken into account in the previous financial year, the mistake of what they claimed the learners moving to Limpopo?
I can't confirm 100% that they took that into consideration when doing the PIS calculation. However, I could do a follow-up for you, Chairman Bartman, to ask exactly that question. What I can confirm is that the mistake has been rectified and that we are continuously monitoring the data. A lot of the data and the rationale and the reason for the mistake was it's self-reported data by provinces on what they perceive to be in-migration of learners and out-migration, whereas our system automatically picks this up through, you know, algorithms and so forth to determine in and out migrations as well. So it's a combination of errors from the local provincial departments.
I think in that particular regard, because money is, it's when it comes to money, provinces are getting less and less. So if you can maybe just do a follow-up for us with the department regarding how the mistake, what was the reason for the mistake specifically, and whether it affected the previous PES, and because we do need to get answer on that. But I think what I can do is I can at least give the budget committee from my side some feedback that the department has dealt with the resolution that was made at the previous workshop as well. Members, because we have time, I'm going to open up for more hands. Okay, if there's none, Mr. De Vega, thank you so much for being here with us. I know data can be quite boring to some, but I actually find it quite exciting, because while to many people we might just see numbers, but in the end of the days, those numbers end up translating into monetary value in budgets in provinces. And that again translates into service delivery on the ground and how much money we have for learners on the ground. And we need to make sure that we spend every single cent as best we can. So I really thank you for that. I think we don't necessarily need to do a similar presentation for budget, but Ms. Hassan Musa, if we can just take this information today, as well as the feedback that Mr. De Vega is going to get us and just forward to the budget committee, then I think that should be sufficient for the members in this regard. If you don't have anything else in this regard. Member Plato, sorry.
Yeah, Chair Lady, thank you so much. Just very briefly from my side, not a question, just to say I'm very delighted with what I'm hearing. We're in the era of technology, new technology and that sort of thing, and I'm very glad to see that departments of the Western Cape government is moving into that direction, and today in particular, the Department of Education. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Member Plato. I think we all appreciate that we're in the digital economy these days. And the same way that we're online year to day to year about data and digital economy, we need to continue ensuring that we are able to gather quality data and reliable data in order to make informed decisions. Mr. De Vega, if you have any other business that you need to go about in your day, you're more than welcome to leave the meeting. But we thank you for being here. Members, please do stay online as we do have, do we have minutes, Ms. Hassan Musa?
No, we don't, but we have the draft program that we'll have to, that the committee will have to consider, and then the other point of the cluster visit week.
No problem. Thank you so much. We will then now move on to the committee matters.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, partner, and members. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Ms. Hassan Musa, if you can lead us with the respective documentation. Okay. I think we can go down to, let's see, today's the 16th.
Is it visible? Yes.
Yes, it's visible. So I don't have my glasses on, so I'm just squinting a little bit. Okay, so the 23rd was the STEAMAC matters. 30th is the nutritional program. Let's quickly go down. Ms. Hassan Musa?
Yes, she.
We can just go down.
Chair, can I just raise a point, please?
No problem.
The workshop, you will see that it's to be confirmed, as well as the oversight visit to Kanaland and Oudtshoorn, and the one to Cape Wiredshaw, is if the committee would like to move this to the next year during the first quarter, or have it fall within the new financial year. Guidance from the committee, as well as the last one, the interprovincial visit week. I'm just highlighting it as well.
Okay, colleagues, I think a meeting or two meetings ago we did work on the program, and I think we actually populated it almost completely. So would it be possible those items that Ms. Hassan Musa has now indicated, if we can move that to the new financial year, which will deal with the new year's program? Because honestly, I don't think that the current committee program is going to allow for enough dates for us to complete those items. I think 95% currently of our program is previous resolutions that we're completing.
Chair, I'm in agreement with the thinking that we move it. I don't think there'll be time to do that. So I'm in agreement with you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other members? Member Kama?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I'm also in agreement with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, I don't hear any other members, so I'm just going to take that as a yes then.
Yes, we agree. Thank you, Chair Lady.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's just quickly go down here. Yeah? Ms. Hassan Musa, if you could just move the document for me a little bit, please.
That's the last one, okay. For March.
No problem. Let's see here. Okay, so those are just the three previous briefings, and then the rest is basically statutory meetings. And the February one that deals with, okay. The February one is the two oversight. What is the top January one quickly, sorry?
There's nothing in January. We can slot something in. I haven't received the new program for January 2023. These are statutory meetings. If there's an opening.
I think I missed a slot there. Sorry, it's, can you just go up because I'm seeing just half of the one block. Imbakam, I'm going to take your hand now. I just want to quickly go up because I'm only seeing like half of the one page. Okay, now go a little bit down because we keep missing the last slot and we keep missing on the last on the one page and we keep missing the first slot on the next page.
You see the 10th of May?
No, I'm seeing August.
Oh. So it's not moving as fast as on my
maybe screen. Put it on 100%. Don't put it on 160. Let's put it on 100% and let's see. It might be that.
Okay, let's see. Now?
Oof. Now we're seeing the organogram of the education department.
Better?
Okay, better. Okay, now let's go down quickly. May, June, we finished. Let's go down. Imbakama, I've not forgotten about you. I just want us to see the full program quickly. That's September. September, quickly stop there. September, the cluster visit week, which we'll discuss now. The workshop is being moved. The Kanaland and Oswerang ones are being moved. Winelands is being moved and interprovincial one is being moved. And the rest is all statutory meetings. Okay. Member Kama?
No, thanks, Chair. What I wanted to understand, Chair, is at what point are we going to have the issue of learner placement for next year to be presented? I'm asking this because the last time I came across was on the email exchanges, and I might have not been in the meeting of the school visit. So I just want to understand that at what point, or are we waiting for the court action to conclude before the committee is briefed on the learner placement for next year? Thank you.
No problem. We do have one already scheduled in January, but I'm going to get to that quickly now. Ms. Hassan Musa, can you just quickly move down? Because we have a normal one that's, there's it February. There we go. That's the first one. The second one, we obviously said we wanted to have another one this year. I have noted the guidance notes from the speaker in the previous sitting. I've read through the draft Hansard, and because it's not a ruling, it's not applicable for implementation. However, I do know that we postponed the previous meeting and I used the WCPP rules in order to postpone that meeting. It's not been cancelled. So I do wish to still schedule that for us. My suggestion would be, I have not received the correspondence from the Speaker's office regarding the letter sent to him. I've also not received correspondence yet regarding his response to Member Syed on the particular matter. I've also not seen any legal opinion which the guidance might have been based on, but I'm going to ask the procedural officer, Ms. Hassan Musa, if she can just get that information for us. And my suggestion would be that we then ask when the court dates will be, because then what we can do is in anticipation, we can already then schedule a feedback briefing in general. Member Kama, would this assist? Member Kama?
Yes, it would.
Okay, I'm half hearing you, but I just heard, yes, it would. So what I'll do is I'm going to ask Ms. Hassan Musa just to request that respective documentation because we have not received that yet. And then what we'll do is we'll ask for the court dates so that what we can do is we can then schedule the briefing accordingly because we do have one in September where EELC wanted to do a briefing for us on some challenges that they've picked up. And my suggestion is that depending on the court dates that we put the two together, would that assist? Okay, yeah, no one's saying yes, no, maybe. So I'm going to assume that silence is concurrence.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much. Ms. Hassan Musa, we still need to discuss the cluster week then.
Yes, Chair. Any input?
Okay, members, we have received request from the cluster to go to the Plettenberg Bay area for the next cluster visit week as part of the social cluster. So because we are the education committee, I wanted to find out if there is anything specifically that members would like us to then focus on in that particular area. Ms. Hassan Musa, do we know how many slots we would get?
At this stage, we don't know. Normally, we have about two or three visits because there are other departments. So it depends on how far, how much traveling there are. And most, let's say, departments get about two visits each. If we're deciding that our visits are unannounced, then we could go with the two visits and maybe have a third. But if we're going to go with the full briefing, which we would normally have, then two meetings would be suffice.
Chair?
Yes, Member Plato?
Thank you so much. My apologies for Mosima, I was too quick with what I've said. But if you say social cluster, does that mean another committee can accompany you guys? From a social point of view, definitely we could always find something to do that during that time slot or period as well. I think I will check with my social development counterparts.
No problem. I know some members are new, and I know Member Fry is new. So on our social cluster visit, what happens is the whole cluster goes on a week to a particular area to do visits. So if you're in education, you're also attending, for example, the social development meeting, you'll attend maybe the community safety meeting, you'll attend the arts and culture one, and so on and so on. So we will all be there getting to know each other and trying to make the province better. Ms. Hassan Musa?
Chi, I just would like to bring you back to one of the conversations we had when we did the ECD briefing in May. We also noted that we would visit some of the ECD centers as part of a social cluster visit, if we could sneak it in. In the Plettenberg area, there are three ECD centers in that area, and since it's now part of the WCED budget and program, just to highlight that part.
Okay, my suggestion then, colleagues, because ECDs were brought over to the department in April this year, and we haven't done ECD oversight yet because we've been majority focusing on concluding previous resolutions, that we take all three ECDs in that area in order to go visit. If we don't get the full slots for all three, then what we'll do is we'll try and identify then maybe the ones closest to where the other oversights will be. Would members be okay with that?
No problem.
Agreement, Chair?
No problem.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Ms. Hassan Musa, is there anything that I've forgotten?
No, everything's in order. Sorry, that was an old end. Thank you for
perfect.
That.
No problem. Colleagues, is there anything else that members would like to raise now that we haven't done already?
Not from my side.
Okay.
Nothing from my side, Chair.
No problem. Thank you so much. Colleagues, I am delighted at the fact that we've ended this meeting early. It does not happen often in this committee, but I hope that you have a lovely day further. Stay safe and stay warm. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you.